when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout this universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God, his Son, not sparing, sent him to die, oh, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then when Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration, oh, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, oh, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, oh, my Savior, God, to thee, how great thou art.
At that pulpit. And all God's people said, amen. I told Brother Bunnell before the service, Panama's never going to be the same when he gets there. God bless you. Well, I said, boy, it just seems like a few hours ago. I just said, Sunday, we have 96 hours together, and they're already gone. The scripture is very clear, folks. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little while, then it vanisheth away. Young people, always keep that before you. Always keep it before you. I mentioned that already this week. But I have one regret too, Brother Terry. I regret that I didn't really get to know you before I got to this conference. You all have a wonderful, wonderful pastor. He is a people's pastor, is what he is. There's a lot of preachers that are in the ministry as pastors, and they're good preachers, but they haven't got a clue. They haven't got a clue about what a pastor is all about. And you all have been really blessed with a great, great pastor. It has just been... well, it's been a delight just to listen to him and to sense, to catch the love he has to pastor people. And that is a joy. Believe me when I say that. It's an absolute joy. And I certainly would be remiss if I didn't thank you all for all of the kindnesses that you've extended to me, and a very comfortable room, and a quiet motel, too. That is a real blessing, because I've been in some, I'll tell you what. If I'd had my Glock 9 with me, I probably wouldn't be here. I'd be in jail someplace. The fruit basket and all the amenities that were there, and your love offering that you've been so gracious in giving to me, and transportation, mercy. You've gone way above and beyond. But it's been a real pleasure, been a real delight. I told Ellie, honey, I'm just really heartsick that you were not able to be with me in this conference. And she says to me, now stop talking like that. You're going to make me feel bad. And but I did tell her, I said, they have a lot of First Baptist Church of Rosemont in them. And you do. You all have the ability to make a stranger feel welcome. And what you always want to remember there is every time somebody walks through those doors and it's their first time, they're a stranger. And when the church will welcome them in, whether they're lost, whether they're saved, whatever they are, that is always going to have a positive effect on those people. Don't ever forget that. And don't lose that warm, 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 welcoming ability that you have. I honestly believe that your church is one of the closest churches I know of in the North to be like a church in the South. As far as your friendliness is concerned. Now, thank God you haven't got their music most of the time. Thank God you haven't got their Bible most of the time. But as far as your warmth and your friendliness, somehow God has been able to penetrate Kankakee County with you dear people. Now, I've been promising you a Murphy story. And to be very honest about it, I wish I hadn't done it. Because I'm not sure what Murphy story I want to tell you. I'll tell you about him flipping the car, okay? Is that all right, Brother Terry? Daryl Murphy graduated from our high school in 1976. He was in our first graduating class. We had 11 graduates the first year. Now, Daryl's father, who was a Lutheran, got saved through our bus ministry. And Daryl's kid sister, Cheryl, beautiful little four-year-old blonde-headed girl at that time, with a big old fat blonde-headed brother. Well, he wasn't that fat at that time. But if he doesn't lose some weight, he's going to have a heart attack before he's 60 years old, is what I've told him. But she got on a Sunday school bus and came to Sunday school. Her daddy and mother came, and they got saved. And Daryl and Jeff, his younger brother, and Cheryl, the girl, they all started coming to First Baptist Church. Dad and Mom got baptized, joined the church. Daryl accepted Christ. Jeffrey accepted Christ. Cheryl got saved a little bit later on. And so Daryl's dad made the decision that boys were going to come to our Christian school. Well, Daryl was a junior in high school when that happened. And he wasn't ready for a Christian high school, believe me when I say that. And but you got to know his dad. His dad expects one response from anybody in his home, and the response is, yes, sir. And so he came to the school, and because the school was a part of the Murphy family, because the school was a part of the church, he conformed. He conformed. He obeyed the rules. He wasn't a difficult student by any sense of the word. Because if he was, I'd have kicked him out. Christian schools are for kids who want to go to a Christian school who obey the rules. You don't want to obey the rules, go to a public school. Go to a Catholic school. Go to a Jewish school. I don't care where you go. Go to a Muslim school. But you're going to come to a Christian school, you're going to obey the rules, you're going to act like a Christian. And we decided that. As soon as we started our school, we had a vote on it. It was 1-0. I won. So he conformed, but he wasn't. He was conforming on the basis of, I want to live. So he graduated from our school, but when he graduated from our school, he moved out of the house. Got a job. Matter of fact, he got a job with a construction company where the contractor was a member of our church, Chuck Ewan, retired now, lives up in North Carolina. And he got in with the crowd that he shouldn't have got in with. He got in with the wrong crowd. And matter of fact, one of the jobs he had in the 5 years he ran from God, it was a bar bouncer. And he wasn't living for the Lord. He wasn't living for breaking his dear mother's heart. And 5 years went by. And that's 5 years he wasted of his life, incidentally. And I remind him of it every time I see him. And but in the month of March, after 5 years of living for the devil, he came one Sunday night. And our church, we have two center sections, just like you have with the center aisle. And then we have two wings on the side to go back quite a bit further than what yours do. And he came in on that far door over there on my left and sat on the last row on that side. And I preached. And Daryl came down the aisle in tears. And took me by the hand, threw his arms around me, and almost broke my neck. Oh, that horse, how'd you like to have him grab you by the neck? And he told me, he says, Pastor, he said, I've been running from God. I'm sorry. I've made a mess of my life. I've been a bad testimony to my mom and my dad, my church. And I told him, I said, if you really mean this, I said, you're going to go up on that platform, you're going to get behind that mic, and you're going to apologize to this whole church family. He said, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And he did it. And he met with me the next week, and I told him that if he really meant business with God, he was going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I was going to put him in the ministry. I put him on his dad's bus. I figured that'd be the safest place. And I told him, I said, Murph, I said, because he told me, he said, I want to go to college. He said, I want to go to college. Well, I thought, there's no college in America going to take you. At least no college I knew anything about. And so I told him, I said, you're going to stay 1 year. You're going to stay here 1 year. And you're going to fly right. And you mess up one time, you're dead in the water. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to do right. And he did. And so I had to come up with a school. So I thought, well, what school would I dare send him to? So I thought to myself, probably the best place would be to Oklahoma Baptist College, because Brother Jim is there, and he'll kill him. And I won't have to mess around with him anymore. So I called Brother Jim Vineyard on the phone. I said, Jim, Ed Johnson. Yeah, Brother Ed, how you doing? I said, I'm fine. I said, I want to tell you a story, and I want to ask you if you'd help us here. So I told him the whole story, and I said, I'd like to send him down to your school. I said, and I'd like you to, you know, kind of keep tabs of him. He said, you send him down here. He said, I don't know, buddy. I can't take care of him. He said, you know, Brother Jim, he's been here several. You had him for many years for your missions conference, Jim. I can kill you with one finger. A couple of years ago, when I've been preaching there now, I've been there, I think, 13 years now for his missions conference. And a couple of years ago, Pastor Tom, his son Tom is now the senior pastor, and Jim came in a little bit later, and I said, hey, Jim, I said, hi, how you doing? He said, I'm doing good. I said, listen, I want to show you something. I can kill you with one finger. And so I sent him off to Oklahoma Baptist College. And of course, he had a couple of railroads down there, too. The idiot got kicked out of school, but that's another story. Staged a fake kidnapping down there, and that was a whole other story. But what I want to say that, before I tell you the story, I want to say that Dr. Jim Vineyard told me that Daryl Murphy has more natural preaching ability than any other young man that's ever graduated from Oklahoma Baptist College. And he has been used of God across this country. He's had thousands of people come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. He's probably one of the favorite preachers in Rosemont. Since Pastor Dave has become senior pastor, the last, I believe it's been, if I remember not, the last 5 or 6 years, he opens our school year with a one-week revival in our church. And you talk about setting the stage for a great beginning of school year with our kids and our ministry. God is using them. But anyhow, the Murphy story that I was going to tell you was when he was living for the devil, because I wanted to tell you that he's not living for the devil anymore. But when he was living for the devil, we had, at that time, we have parking in the front. We have about 3.5, maybe 3.5, 4 acres of parking. We have 2 snow plows because we've got to plow all that snow, you know, and so forth and so on. But before we expanded the parking lot, we had a what we call teardrop out in the front parking lot where we had the flagpole with the American flag and the Minnesota state flag and the Christian flag that we fly 24/7 with spotlights on it and so forth and so on. And so the cars came around and dropped the people off and went around the teardrop and then went out and to park their cars in, you know, the parking area. Well, on a Wednesday night, when you're in our auditorium, because we have glass that you can see through into the foyer, and then glass that you can see through outside. I'm in the pulpit, and I just had started teaching the Bible, and because I know he had planned it. I know that turkey, I know what he was doing. And he had planned when I would get in. As a matter of fact, he might have been sitting outside watching, waiting until I got in the pulpit. But he got in his car, was in his car, knew when he was to come in, and he came around that teardrop, and he's laying rubber all around that teardrop. One time around, two times around. It's a good thing I didn't have my 9mm Glock. And I thought to myself, I'm going to kill him. And he did it two times, and then he goes out of the driveway, goes out the entrance to the parking lot. County Road 33 at that time had a little bit of a curve in it. It's gone now. They straightened it out because of the traffic we have. You know, when I went to Rosemont, there was 1,041 people living in the little village of Rosemont. And now there's over 25,000 people living in the little village of Rosemont. And there's another 47,000 living in Apple Valley that wasn't even there when I started in Rosemont. And there's another 63,000 living in Egan, which at that time was called Lebanon Township. The population has just absolutely exploded. Within a five-mile radius of First Baptist Church, we have over 250,000 people that we can reach for Christ. But he goes out of the entrance of the parking lot, and because of that curve, he had to go to the right, and then he had to make a little bit of a turn to the left because of the curve in County Road 33. And what happened, the right side wheels on his car got off in the gravel, and he overcorrected the car, and he flips the car. I'm looking out the window, and I'm seeing the car go over, and it lands on the roof, bounces back on the roof, and it stops. Four wheels are turning, and I'm thinking, I won't have to kill him. God just killed him. And lo and behold, this is the truth. Here comes Murphy, crawling out of the window of that car. And I thought, God, why did you let him live? But that's the Murphy story I could tell you. But I love him, I love him, I love him. Every time he comes home, he comes in to see me. And he's incredible. That's all I know. Just absolutely incredible. Okay, I've covered the Murphy story. I did everything Ellie told me to do as far as thanking you. No, I'm just kidding. Take your Bibles and let's look at the Bible tonight for a little bit. But praise God for the good meeting he's given us. And stay faithful to the Lord. Don't lose your heart for Jesus. Hang on to your preacher. Don't let anybody steal him from you. I believe he's here for his life. Anybody tries to steal him, give me a call. I'll get him straightened out. But don't lose that heart you've got. Pastor comes to the pulpit tonight. You didn't know what he was going to do. Brother Fox has gone to heaven. He tells you a little bit about the situation at the home. Let's send $500. The number of preachers that I know in America that'll do that, I could count on this one hand probably. Well, maybe two hands. That's a heart. That's not up here. That's here. Don't lose that, Terry. Don't lose it. You've been blessed to God, young fellow. You've been blessed to God. Now, some of you are kids saying, young fellow, he's 57 years old. Yeah, I can't remember when I was 57. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 tonight. I just want to spend a little bit of time with you looking at the sowing and the reaping of faith promise giving. I love this message. I always look forward to this message. Now, I don't preach it in all missions conferences. The reason I don't is because some churches, they are not ready for it. But Faith Baptist Church in Bourbonnais is ready for this. You're ready for it. And because there's a tremendous truth here that I don't want you all to forget because of the way you have been treating these four wonderful missionary families that are here. You guys, you've had a great time. Amen. You've come to love this place. There's just no doubt about it. And the way you have treated them, you know, and let me not spend a lot of time here with this idea, but you know, when a church brings a group of missionaries in for a missions conference, and the church is thoughtful enough to put them in a motel rather than homes with their families. See, that's an expense to you guys and gals. That's cost you some good dollars. But you don't know what a blessing that is to those dear godly missionaries. That they can have that privacy. They can have that time. Especially when they got all these little missionary brats with them. Oh, I'm just kidding. God bless the missionary kids. I always tell them, if the preacher's kids were as good as missionary kids, we'd probably win America to Jesus in 6 months. But no, but that's a blessing, and it's not done. It's not done as often as it should be done. To be honest about it. And so when you do that, the message I preach tonight is a message that I love to preach because it's a message that tells us how wonderful this thing called faith, promise, mission, giving is really all about. See, there's a principle in the Bible you cannot forget. And that principle is the principle of sowing and reaping. It is a lifelong, I mean eternity long principle. You and I will never change that principle. And why more churches don't capture that principle, I don't know. But all I know is not all churches capture it. But you all have captured it. And you don't want to lose it. So I want you to see the giver and the benefits that come out of faith promise. Now, you all understand the missionaries are going to receive a blessing when you're able to take them on. But I want church tonight to see God's got all kind of blessings in store for you because of what you're going to do. I love what preacher said a little while ago when he said, we are going to take them on. In other words, his faith was demonstrated in that statement. He is trusting God to do this. And in order for the church to have that kind of faith, the preacher has to have that kind of faith. Because the preacher is he's leading the church. And so Paul is writing here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want you to look at verse number 6 with me for just a few minutes. And look at what it says. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that, people, is a truth that we cannot allow ourselves to forget when it comes to the most important thing to the heart of God, and that's reaching a lost and dying world with the blessed story Jesus saves. So let's pray, and we'll stay a little bit and look at some truth. Father, bless our time together tonight. Said 4 days ago, Lord, 96 hours. And boy, they sure have gone fast. But we're coming now to my last time with these good people. And I'm asking that you once again would smile upon us, and you once again would allow your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, to meet with us tonight and to do in our hearts and in our lives that, God, which would bring glory and praise to you. Help me to be a blessing, and help me, I pray, Father, to be able to communicate to these good people that which you would have me to communicate tonight, and we'll thank you for it. As I pray in Jesus' name with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. What I'm looking at tonight and what I'm talking about tonight that I want you to remember is we're talking about faith, promise, mission, offering. And I want you to remember that the words of Jesus, though I understand we have no record of that being said in the Scripture. I mean, when we read many, many places, you know, where Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive, that comes out of the book of Acts, where Paul makes that statement in, Acts chapter 20 and verse number 35, I'm not sure. Though I do know this, if you'll go over sometime and look at Luke 14 and look at verses 12 through 14, where Jesus there is speaking, he doesn't specifically say that statement, but the principle is all there in those three verses of Scripture that you'll find in Luke chapter number 14. But I want us to look tonight for just a few minutes, as I said a moment ago, at the giver and the benefits received. Because there's a principle of giving that has been embraced by Faith Baptist Church on this matter of faith, promise, mission, giving. Because over the years, through leadership probably of the ministry and because of the philosophy of the ministry that it was founded upon, I'm not sure of that, but I don't know a lot of your founding history. But I do know when you read this scripture and you look at verse number 7 there, for instance, and you read those words, every man according as he is purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. I see there's an inward principle that God is telling us and giving us in that verse. Now in verse number 6, when you read those words, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Well, there we have what we would call an outward principle. But the thing I want you to see is the promise that it works. See, the principle of giving is in those two verses. But you want to understand that there is a promise that it works. Because read on in verse number 8 with me and look at what it says. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, what he's saying there is he's saying this program, this principle, it works because it rests upon God's ability. It's not resting on your or my ability. It's resting on what God has promised. See, he's telling us here, God is able. Look at verse number 9. Let me go on to verse number 9. Because with my Murphy story here and all the rest of it, I lost a little bit of my time. But I want to get you home at least by 10. And how many drive a distance to come here? I met people on Sunday that drive an hour and so forth. And that's incredible. Well, we have folks that drive. I think the farthest family drives 45 miles to get to First Baptist. And that was one of the things, incidentally, that really motivated me to start planning churches. Because after we hit the 500, 600 mark, I felt that First Baptist Church of Rosemont could be an effective ministry and be more effective by planting churches rather than just continuing to build, you know, a church of 800 and 900 and 1,000, you know, and 1,100. And to where our high attendance in the 35 years I was there was 2,000, 2,065 people. But that was gave me the idea of planting those churches to where now we got a church in Northfield, and we've got a church in Waconia, and we've got a church in Shakopee, and we've got a church up in Minneapolis, and we've got a church over in Woodbury. And we're planting these churches. And incidentally, what's happening there is as these young churches that have been planted and they're starting to grow and they're starting to mature, you know what's happening? They're starting mission conferences and they're taking on missionaries. You know, it's got all kind of positive pluses when you get a hold of what the Scripture says we ought to be all about. But look, if you will, please, at verse number 9 with me, because let me keep going here. And as it is written, he says, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that remaineth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us the thanksgiving of God. It works because it's based on God's resources. It's not based on our resources. It's based on God's resources. And so when we make that statement, you say, well, how can you say that, Pastor? How can you prove that? Well, look at your Bible. Look at your Bible. How many know anything about the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel? Hannah was without child. She wanted a child. And so she comes to God, and what does she do with God? She says, God, if you'll give me a man child, I'll do what? Talk to me. I'm going to give him back to you. I'm going to give him to you. God blesses her, gives her the man child, and we find a man child coming into the world, and Hannah's true to her word, gives him back to God. Now, I want you to fast forward and look at Hannah several years down the road. And what has God given Hannah in return? The last time I checked my Bible, it still says there's 3 sons and 2 daughters that came into her life. Now, that's a pretty good trade. If you like kids. Now, if you're buying the food for them and you're clothing them and all the rest of it, you make sure that you better be in the will of God, because otherwise you're crazy. But I'm simply saying, look at Hannah. She wanted that child so desperately. God will give him back to you. And so she gave God the first. And God says, there's a gal that I can put some kids in. Same principle, beloved. And you can go through your Bible again and again and again and again. Matter of fact, your little book that I read, that's a good little book, Brother Terry. Do you try to distribute that? Church, you ought to get with your preacher and help him. He's written a little book on Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. That's on target. That's right on target. Because you look at Philippians chapter number 4 in your Bible. And the promise that Paul here makes to that church at Philippi. That very, very promise. It's because what they had done for missions. That's the whole principle. That's why that scripture in Philippians 4:19, that is a mission conference principle. That's where you get your giving to missions in your first century. Faith promise, see, a lot of people think faith promise came out of the Smith ministry in Toronto and a few other, you know, pastors. They got a burden for missions and they came up with what is called the Faith Promise Mission Program. The Faith Promise Mission Program comes out of the first century of the New Testament church. It's in the book. First Baptist Church of Rosemont. When I went to Rosemont in 1967, our mission giving, when I walked in the doors of that church, was 3 missionaries, $5 a month, $15. Now, true, $5 a month was a lot more than what $5 a month would be, today. You could go to McDonald's and have a hamburger and fries and a Coke for $1 or less. You try and do that today. Unless they're serving horse meat or something, it's not going to happen. So, here's 1967. 1967, $180 a month for missions at First Baptist Church. Now, that wasn't faith promise. They just gave it out of, you know, general fund. 35 years goes by. And in 2002, when I became pastor emeritus at First Baptist Church, our mission giving that year was $250,000. Now, you say, why do you say that? To tell us how good? No, I don't tell you that to say how good the church is. I tell you that to see why God took that church from 15, 20 people with $180 of mission giving in a year, and 35 years later had that mission giving at $250,000. Why God blessed that church all through those 35 years, folks, wasn't because of Ed Johnson. It was because of the Word of God and an obedience to the Scripture. God will bless Faith Baptist Church as long as you keep following the Word of God. Don't ever forget that. We don't need a lot of sad stories that brings tears to the eyes and all the rest of it. We need more of the Scripture in our churches. The Southern Baptist. I read an article the other day, well, a couple of weeks ago now, but it just frustrated me to no end, where they had a big meeting with pastors and they're telling them the best way to get more people down the aisle is to have a lot of music at the end. And keep playing the music, and the music will bring the folks down the aisle. We better have the Holy Spirit of God bringing them down the aisle if anything's going to happen for God. I feel a preaching spell coming on. It's out of we're living in a day and age where they're out of their mind in relationship to what is going to build our churches and by the grace of God save our country. And incidentally, I had it almost planned perfectly last night to where when I got to the motel room, I only had about 35 seconds of the president's last part of the spiritual, you know, presidential address. I always said the best way, you know, the best way you can tell when politicians are lying, their mouth is moving. It's just so pathetic today. Just heartbreaking to see what's happening to our nation. But there are all kind of blessing to the giver. Now it's true, I understand the receiver and the benefits they get. I understand that. But do you understand that Faith Promise Missions also includes supplying the wants of the saints? Now, the question there is, what are the wants of the saints? And I think we need to understand when we make that statement, we emphasize the word saint. We're not talking about the worldly crowd. We're not talking about people that are living for themselves, carnal saints. But we're talking about the children of God that are, you know, that love the Lord. They're Sunday morning Christians. They're Sunday night Christians. They're Wednesday night Christians. They teach Sunday school. They sing in the choir. They serve as ushers. They're folks that are seeking to walk with God and love God. I call them the sold out surrender child of God. That's what I call them. They're not saved, seated, and satisfied. They're saved standing and serving. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the saint of God. And those saints of God, they will have their wants supplied. Because, you know, those people, they're not going to be asking for a lot of the world's goods. What they're asking for, they're asking for God. Impress upon my heart, show me, Lord, in my heart, in my life as a child of yours, not in my carnal flesh. They're not going to ask what the flesh wants. They're going to ask what the Spirit wants because they're walking with God. One of the things I taught my children and one of the things Ellie and I practiced in our life over the years, we never purchased anything of this world's goods that we didn't bathe in prayer before we bought it. And you know what God did? God gave us all of that which we needed and so much more that we really didn't want that He gave us. And He gave it to us at even better prices because we were praying about it. Matter of fact, we just had this experience not too long ago when we got back to the Florida house. When we left Florida, our TV that we bought in 2002 when we moved into the house, it didn't have, you know, all the HD and LED and ABC and everything else today. I don't even know what any of it means. But we just kept it because it was a television and that's all I wanted. I wanted to watch the news and I wanted to be able to watch the football game and I wanted to be able to watch the baseball game, you know. And now in Minnesota, we have a professional football team. I think the Sisters of the Poor could probably beat them, but that's another story. But when we left the Florida house in April of last year, we didn't unplug the TV, and they had a major storm there over the summer, and lightning struck the village there, and they had a power surge. And when we got there this winter, when after we got down here in January to the Florida house, our television was gone. And so I said to Ellie, do we want to get a television, or do we just want to forget about the television? And I'm thinking now, please say we want one. Well, I wanted to watch the baseball game and I wanted to watch the football game. And so she said, well, let's pray about it. Well, I thought, okay, that's a good idea. And so we prayed a couple of days. And so I called, we talk to the kids all the time on cell phones, and I'm not going to text, so don't even come to me and talk to me about that afterwards. And so I was talking to our daughter Sarah, our second daughter, and she said, I was telling her about the TV we had gone, and she said, well, Daddy, she said, you ought to think about buying it online. And I said, no, I want to buy it at a TV store. I don't want to buy it online. And she said, well, you can buy it. You can buy it online at a store where they sell TVs. I said, how am I going to buy it online if it's in the store? And she said, Dad, just forget about it. She said, let me call you back. And she said, but what I want you to do, she said, I want you to go to Sears. And, well, we have a Sears store there in Sebring. She said, go to Sears and look at all the TVs. And she said, find one that you think would work for you. And then she said, call me back. So I took the bride, and that's what I call her. And I took the bride, and we went to Sears. And we, good night above, they had, I was blind looking at all these TVs. They're all over the place. And so I started talking to this young man, a fine young man, a black young man. And very knowledgeable. I didn't know what he was talking about, but it was very, very knowledgeable. And so he's telling me about all these TVs. Well, he had there, I forgot what it was. 31 inch. But it's not this big horse of a thing that we had for 10, 12 years. It's just this little real thin thing. They call them flat TVs. So I saw this one, and it has a real nice picture on it. Samsung. There you go, Samsung. And 31 inch, and it's got all those letters, LED and HD and so forth and so on. And they want $399.95 for it. So I'm writing all the statistics down. You know, I got everything down there. They got megahertz and kilohertz, and I've got the whole nine yards. And, well, I didn't know what she was wanting, so I just got the whole thing. And so I called her up, and I said, sis, listen, I got that information on the TV. She said, okay, give it to me. So I gave her all that stuff. So she says, I'll call you back. And that was in the, yeah, because she called me back the next day. Phone rings. I answered the phone. She said, Daddy, she said, I've been looking online. And she said, Sears and Roebuck has that TV online for $299.95. I said, now, whoa, 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 hold phone here now, sis. They want $399 for it in the store. And, no, $279 because the total bill came to $299 and it was taxed. And I said, they want $399 for it in the store. And online they're selling it for $279. I said, well, they're robbing everybody that comes into their store. She said, well, I don't know that you want to call it robbing, she said, but that's what they're selling it for. And so by waiting and doing what God wanted us to do, rather than going to the Sears and Roebuck store and paying $399 for it, I bought online. I still don't know how I did that, but I bought it online for $279. And the tax, it came to less, $299 and some change. And then I said to her, I said, well, now, wait a minute. Before I do this, I said, how much are they going to charge me to ship it? Because I thought they sent it, send it to my house. She said, oh, no, 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 she said. She said, they're gonna send it to the store, and you just go into the store and pick it up right at the store. Now, that sounded kind of fishy to me. Because right away, I'm thinking, they got that same TV in the store that they're going to sell online for $279, and I go into the store, and they're telling me for $399. That's as crooked as a dog's hind leg. But God gave me a TV at $120 saving. Now, folks, even a Florida boy can figure that out. That's a good deal. And I could stand here for the next hour, 2 hours, and tell you again and again and again and again and again and again how God has given our family, I mean, just immeasurable blessings. Why? Because of the principles of this book that God has pledged His word to, and He doesn't lie. He just simply flat does not lie. And your dear missionaries, they have a want. They're not wanting to go to Panama, and they're not wanting to go to Eurasia, and they're not wanting to go to Argentina and to Kenya to sightsee and take pictures or go big game hunting. They're wanting to go to tell people about Jesus. That's their want. That's their desire. Listen, all four of these young couples you have here, they got brains. Do you realize what they're doing by obeying God? Leaving the greatest country in the world? Hauling their kids across a body of water? Taking them into a culture? Going to a place where they're really not wanted? To tell a people about Jesus that they don't want to know? But that's what God has called them to do. And by the grace of God, He's given them an obedient heart to where they're willing to do it. They want to win the souls of men to Christ. They want to see them follow what God has given them in the Word of God. Win them, baptize them, train them to go and do the same thing. And you know, the way we see our world going, we better wake up and we ought to get as many in there as we can. Because I'm convinced if this world keeps going the way it's going, there's going to be days we will not be able to get missionaries into those countries. But we win those nationals, they'll be there. They'll be there. It's faith, promise, grooming. That supplies the spiritual wants of the saints. So that's a benefit. That's a benefit. And the second benefit I think you can see when we look at this scripture here, the second benefit experienced by the receiver is the praise unto God that comes from the gift. Look at verse number 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which calls it through us thanksgiving to God. It's God. It's God that gets the praise. Why thanksgiving? Because of the bountifully way which you are giving and the way God is blessing. Faith promise, it's impossible. It is impossible to be man's plan. Man doesn't have that. He doesn't have that type of concept. It has come out of the Bible. It's the Scripture. Verse number 13. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, the glory, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And that statement there, and for your distribution unto them and unto all men, I've got that thing underlined here in my Bible. Because what you're doing is you're distributing through faith, the faith promised offering. See, this offering that you are going to take for your missionary family, that they're not going over there to, you know, to feed them, and they're not going over there to teach them how to become farmers and all the rest. I'm not opposed to that. But no, they're going over there to tell them about Jesus. They're going over there to plant churches. And would to God some of our so-called mission agencies today could understand that if they just would get them saved and get them born again and teach them the Bible, they all would become far more productive than what they would otherwise. That's very simple. I mean, in Rosemont, Minnesota, when we've had families that we've reached up in the cities, families that were, I mean, just absolutely destitute, but when they found Christ and they started obeying the Bible and getting baptized and joining the church, and we started discipling them, it's been incredible to see how some of those families that were living on welfare, they are now living in homes they've bought. They've purchased with their own money. Why? Because they found out the truth of the Word of God, because they came to know Jesus Christ. It's all in the Scripture. And there's nothing that brings more honor and glory to God than a poor, lost, hell-bound sinner accepting Christ as Savior. Well, the Scripture tells us the angels in heaven rejoice over one sinner that repenteth. And so when you're talking about faith promise mission giving, you always want to remind yourself, you always want to remember, you're talking about lost people coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior. And not only does your faith promise supply the needs, you know, and bring forth praise unto God. Look at verse 14. Let me give you this one. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Now, what is that basically saying? Well, that tells me as I look at what that's saying. It's bringing prayer from the receiver. As brother Bunnell told us this morning about, I think it was your brother in England during the riots. And boy, when you made that statement, that thought came to my mind in relationship to faith promise mission giving, because the money that his brother receives from his supporting churches, that's important. You know, we understand that. But the fact that you're praying for those missionaries, don't you think that isn't important? And he was telling the story of his brother who is in London, I believe it was England, and they were having those riots over there a couple of years ago. You all remember that? And the riots where they were destroying, and I mean people were killed, and there were hundreds and hundreds that were injured. The riots got, I think you said, Sam, within two blocks, was it, of his brother's house. And he said his brother understood how important then the prayers of God's people were that were praying for that dear man in England, to where those prayers stopped those rioters two blocks from his house. Matter of fact, I always remember missionary Darrell Jose, almost blind, first young man in our church that surrendered to the mission field. He was almost blind. He was legally blind. He couldn't drive. He could see a little bit, but his wife did all of his driving. Went to Tennessee Temple, graduated from Tennessee Temple, and God called him to Alaska. He took his wife and his two little kids to Alaska. Terrible, terrible diabetic. It was the diabetes that had impacted his eyesight. Matter of fact, one day I had gone to Rochester to make a visit down there at St. Mary's Hospital in Rochester, where Mayo Clinic is. And Darrell went along with me, and we were driving back. I've never seen anything like it. And we were coming into Cannon Falls on Highway 52. We call it the St. Paul-Rochester Highway. It's a two-lane divided highway going down to Rochester. And he said to me, I need to get to a store as quick as we can. And I said, well, what's wrong? And he said, I'm beginning to have a diabetic reaction. Has anybody ever seen a diabetic reaction? Have you seen that? Man alive. I'll tell you what. I was scared to death. I mean, he started losing it. And so, boy, I flew down that highway, drove into Cannon Falls, and he wanted candy bars. He said, if I can get some candy bars. And I stopped at a convenience store and ran in, and Milky Ways. The guy had Milky Ways there, and I grabbed a couple of Milky Ways, and I said, I'll be back and pay you in a minute. I said, I got a guy here that needs candy. And I ran out, and the lady is standing there, and she's like, and I ran out, and I gave him the candy, and I went back in and paid her. But he went to Alaska as a missionary, spent 7 years up there, and then died. And they brought him back to the States. I had his funeral. He's buried in Mankato, his hometown, buried in Mankato, Minnesota. And his wife remarried and is back in Alaska today as a missionary. And it's just absolutely incredible when you stop and you see what prayer does. And that's what Faith Promise Missions is all about. Do you realize the number? I say this all the time, but I just thought about this today when I was walking up and down your hall and I was looking at all those missionary pictures. I've always said this about First Baptist Church. The sun never sets on the ministry of First Baptist Church because there's people praying for us all around the world. Do you realize, preacher, with all those missionaries you already are supporting, and with these four missionaries that you're praying and asking God to take on in this conference, the sun never sets on Faith Baptist Church. In Bourbonnais, Illinois, because of the prayers of those missionaries out there to pray for your church. And boy, I don't know about you, but the more people I can have praying for me, I'm for it. I'm just dead set for it. I'm all for that. And that's what Paul is talking about here. He's simply saying, chapter number 8, look at verse number 14 there. But by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there be equality. The receiver, see, praying for you, the giver. Why, it only stands to reason. The more missionaries that God will allow you to take on, the more people you're going to have praying for this ministry. And I love what the apostle says here in chapter 9, verse number 15, as we close the message. Thanks be unto who? Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. I love that. for his unspeakable gift. In other words, here's the bottom line. Don't ever forget God, people. Don't ever forget God. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The indescribable, the inexpressible gift. The Bible says he was rich. He was rich, but he became poor, that I might, through his poverty, become rich. When we close our Lord's Supper every first Sunday night of the month in Rosemont, I started this years and years ago. We sing a little chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Church, if you're here tonight and you're a child who has been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, you're rich. You're rich. You're very, 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 very rich. And so, as I've said in the last 96 hours, pray. We have not because we ask not, all we ask amiss. Then don't lose sight of what it's all about. It's about taking the wonderful story that Jesus says and taking it to another part of the lost world that others who are poor might become rich. Because of what you have been used of God to do in the lives of four wonderful young couples that I've come to know and love in the last 96 hours. Would you bow your heads with me for prayer? And let's ask God to bless us before we go home. Brother Terry, I have immensely enjoyed myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my brother, for the privilege it's been to be in your church, in your pulpit. You come and close here our service for us tonight.
What Dr. Johnson said tonight has been repeated over and over again by different voices that churches that maintain their heart for missions find the favor of God. They just do. And pews and walls and carpet and ceiling tiles don't give the faith promise people do. And if a church keeps its heart for missions, it's because the people have. And I hope that something that's been said, sung, taught, preached, or just sensed in the last 4 days has helped you reach another decision for 2013 to keep your heart for missions. So let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and the altar is open. It'd be a good time for you just to kneel and confirm or ask God to continue working on your heart in the days ahead as the ladies play. Ladies, you play. Slip out and come.